I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Arch Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 36 years since my last confession. And these... Oh, no, wait, that's wrong opening. This is show 68. And I don't know what it's going to be about because I'm doing the opener at the beginning. Generally, we do the opener at the end so I can tell you what's going to be in the show. But since I don't know what's going to be in the show because I hadn't done it yet, I just don't know. But I got to tell you, we are in good spirits here. At the new Bart Cop Manor, we might have to give it a name like Casa del Bart. We don't know. It needs a new name because the Bart Cop Manor has sullied memories in my mind. I think of Bart Cop Manor now. I think of the flood, and I think of the mold, and I think of that funny odor. But I got to tell you, in a good mood, and I'll give you the long of it later, but the short of it is, I have visited my nutty cancer doctor, who I think I'm smarter than. And he tells me that my imminent death is less imminent than he originally thought. So there's a story to tell you. I'll try to make it humorous. But anyway, going to get started on the big, big show. How do we do that? For the first time, 68 shows, I'm out of Chinaco. Also, we're working hard in that. Well, A, I got the flu again. Every February, I get the same thing. Not that you'd want to, but if you went through the old back issues... Every year, every damn year, either January or February, it starts off with this nutty sinus infection, and it works its way down my throat into my chest, and then I cough real bad for about a week or 10 days, and then it gets to where my lungs just hurt so bad and my chest hurts so bad, so I start gobbling that Vicks cough syrup. And by gobbling, you know, I can drink when I put my mind to it. I turn that bottle upside down, make it disappear, and still we cough, and oh, it hurts so bad, but we're coming out of that now. Besides that, I'm working without... Headphones. The headphones are still packed somewhere. Oh, the story of the move. That's a story, too. We're going to try to get a little politics in here, but so much has happened since our last show. So, tell what we're going to do. We're out of Chinaco today, but luckily we have a little bit of Don Eduardo tequila, 100% agave añejo. We're going to try to substitute that for the always present, usually Chinaco. Oh, it tastes so fine. The Don Eduardo, as I said previously, if the Chinaco factory blows up, we're going to become good friends real fast with the Don Eduardo company. But Chinaco still holds the title, no doubt about that. And because we're in such a good mood, because we're dying at a rate previously less diagnosed... Oh, fuck, what is that? Can do another shot. Hello? 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 Got no David. My name's Bart. Okay. Oh, I don't go to Branson. You got anything in Vegas? You got anything in Vegas? I don't go to Branson. Yes, Vegas. Fix me up with a 5-star room there. I'll go. Oh, well, okay. Well, thanks for calling. Some hand job wanted to send me to a 5-star hotel in Branson, Missouri. Yeah, Branson is chock full of 5-star hotels, trust me. So where were we? Oh, yes, because we're in such a good mood, because the stories of my death have been greatly exaggerated, not by me. Now, see, that's another road we're going to have to cross when we get to it, but I didn't make up nothing. The idiot doctor, we're going to have to explain the idiot doctor here when we get into it, but... Yes, we are celebrating. I apparently am going to be around for more days or months, maybe years, than we previously thought. And that's a damn good reason. I'm going to do me another shot. Of course, my liver could kill me before the cancer does, but that's a whole nother story. That'd be a fun way to go. Okay, lots of show to do. Let's get into it. Boing!
This is www.bartcop.com.
In the middle of the move here, I'm attempting to do a little radio. Testing, 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 1, 1, 1. Hi, my name's Bart. We're 2 days from the alleged moving in point on the big, big move. And I've got to tell you, it's a good thing that I'm the type of guy that doesn't do stress. As you know, as I've often said, I don't do stress. Even when the house is flooding, let me tell you what happened again now Sunday. I don't know what day I'm recording this on. It just doesn't matter. But Sunday, I'm sitting there working on the page, hard at work, just for you, just the reader, just the listener, working hard. Ms. Bart comes running in. Big problem in the back bathroom. I'm going, well, now what? So I go back there and open the door, and there's fucking Linda Blair with her head spinning every direction and pea soup going all over the walls. And, oh, my God, the back toilet just exploding like crazy. It's like, well, what is this? I got Old Faithful all of a sudden in the back bathroom. I mean, there wasn't even anybody using it. It's just out of the blue, some pipe bursts, and it just is screaming water in every direction. And it's like, well, now what? So, you know, nothing. I guess a fire would be a bigger panic, but you got water going everywhere. And we're talking about up in the air. We're talking about flying around. Linda Blair. What's that word? Not cognizant, not prescient. I am forethoughtical. About a month ago, I thought, you know, I should go buy one of those keys where you run out in the front yard and turn the water off just in case sometime some water line breaks or something and all of a sudden I got it. Because right now, if you don't have a key and you got something like this happening, you got to call a plumber. Yeah, Sunday morning, all the plumbers are working. So I thought, I'll be damned. So I went and bought a key. It's like 10 bucks. It's a big old key. It's like a 3-foot key, you know. You probably got one of those too. You kick off the manhole cover outside. Sorry. The person hole cover, and then you stick this key down about 2-3 feet in the ground and turn off the water. And then I got to thinking, but wait, hey, Einstein, instead of turning off all the water in the house, why don't you turn off the water to the back bathroom? Ha ha. So that's what I did. I reached down in there in the torrent and turned off the water. And, oh, I hated this too, but as you turn it, when it got down to the very end, it started to go, you know, oh, how'd it go? I just hate when it does that. But anyway, so finally got it turned off. It's like, whew. It's like, hey, fuck it. We ain't never going to use this bathroom again. We got 3, 4, 5 more days in this old house. We'll just be gone. And see, a lesser man might have been stressed out by that. The constant flooding, the mold in the air, the itchy eyes, the coughing kitties, Mrs. Bart on my back. When are we going to move? Well, she don't sound like that, but that's, you know, sometimes what hits your ears. We're moving as fast as we can, honey. So it's a good thing. I'm the type of guy, I just don't do stress. I tell stress to blow me. I just don't do stress. I don't have any affiliation with stress. And even though with the flooding and the moving and various other problems, and you know, it's always something on top of everything else, you know, then they come at you with an extra flood that you weren't expecting on top of the first flood on top of everything else. But I just don't do stress. And in my little temper tantrum I threw last Friday night over the N-word, yes, some of you might have thought that was stress, but no. That was something else, because I don't do stress. And I'm not stressed now. But I thought as long as I was in a mood that might be stressful for other people, I thought I'd talk a little bit about our new Senate leader, Harry Reid. Are y'all familiar with, are you guys familiar with Harry Reid? He took Tom Daschle's place as loser party chief in the Senate. He's minority whip, or he's got some dumbass name. Oh, Harry is pro-life. And I'm not sure what the Democrats were thinking when they put a pro-life guy in charge of the Senate. I don't know. Are they signaling, screw you women, we don't care either? I'm not sure. Why would they do that? It's a puzzle. So I don't know a lot about Harry other than that he's pro-choice, and that's not a good first thing to know about a guy who's leading the Senate and your party when you're getting your brains kicked in. I got my first good glimpse at Harry Reid in the paper this morning. Now, I've seen him. I know who he is, and I probably have seen him on some talk shows, but he's not Mr. Excitement. He doesn't make you pay attention. You ask 100 people off the street, who's Harry Reid? 99 will say, dunno. Is he that guy that did the porno films? And no, that's not him. I'm reading the paper, and I see it's a little tiny article. I'm going to read you the whole article. It's three paragraphs, and they're short paragraphs. Starts out, big headline, Reid calls on president to stop GOP attacks on him. If I was writing that, I would say, Reid begs president, please don't hurt me. Now, how did this guy get in charge of the Democrats in the Senate if he's a please don't hurt me kind of Democrat? Why did we do it again? First we got Al Gore who didn't want to win. Then we got John Kerry who didn't want to win. Now we put please don't hurt me Reid in charge of the Senate Democrats. Well, looking at it another way, maybe he's the perfect guy to lead the Senate Democrats because they're all Harry Reid's. Please don't hurt me. That's the party that you and I are in. You being the listener and me being the pissed off son of a bitch sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Come. I need one of those, I need one of those. If you have one, put it on MP3 and send it to me so I can sing it to myself when I get pissed off. Okay, Harry Reid. Here we go. Senate Minority Leader, that's his official name, Harry Reid, Democrat whiner, wants President Bush to repudiate a Republican National Committee mailing that paints the Democratic leader as an obstructionist. Reid called it a hit piece. Please don't hit me, please. Reid's predecessor, Tom Daschle of South Dakota, lost his reelection bid in November after Republicans repeatedly branded him a chief obstructionist to Bush's agenda on Capitol Hill. Now, don't it figure? Daschle kissed Bush's ass again and again and again and went on and on about how he could work with the president and the president was a good guy and all. They were sure they could make great legislation together. And he went on and he was for the war and he was for the war even after there was no WMD and he was always behind Bush. Oh, I'm right with you, Mr. President. And what did he get for his trouble? He got kicked in the fucking teeth, which is what you get every time you deal with these sons of bitches. But what do? In his place, we put a please don't hurt me Democrat. What's wrong with this party? Why can't we take a little bark cop and put it in a bottle and inject him with it or something? And what's with these people? Please don't hurt me. God, I'm so sick. Then it reminds of the Godfather. Please, Godfather, they won't hire me out in Hollywood. What am I going to do? And Marlon Brando grabs him, slaps him in the face, says, you can stand up and act like a man, goddammit. And I love it. Coppola does a quick cut to Tom Hagen. He smiles a little bit like, yeah, really, that guy needed some of that real fucking bad. You don't come to the Godfather whining, please, my Godfather, they're going to hurt me. They won't hire me. Godfather don't play that shit. And we shouldn't either if we had any brains, but no, we're Democrats. We don't want to be like them. We don't want to be coarse and mean and fight back and all those negative things. We want to smile and put on a pink tutu and do what they ask us to get along, because we want to sing Kumbaya, because we're Democrats, because we don't want to fucking win. That shit doesn't work, does it? All right, back to Reid said Bush has called for bipartisanship and should stop the GOP attack. Mr. President, you promised. Why are you doing this to me? Please stop. You promised you wouldn't, and now you're going to look at your own nose. White House spokesman Trent Duffy. Trent Duffy. Who ever heard of Trent Duffy? How many spokesmen? He must be the Sunday holiday. Everybody went home, White House spokesman. Trent Duffy said that Bush, quote, looks forward to working with Senator Reid on addressing our country's challenges. Oh, what a hand job. That's a hand job, and he didn't wash his hands, is what that is. Well, tell you what, as always, I got the answer. You know, I fixed the economy, but nobody wanted to hear it. I fixed the problem in the Middle East, but nobody wanted to hear it. I fixed campaign finance reform, nobody wanted to hear it. I can fix anything, but they just don't want it fixed. They would rather stand around and say, please don't hurt me, you promised, instead of fixing the problem. Like with stress, I don't do problems. Problem gets in my way. If I can't shoot it or kick it aside, I ignore it. I don't have problems like most people have. I just don't do problems. There's time when Mrs. Bart say, well, how come this isn't upsetting you more? And I'm going, well, sure, I can get upset, but, you know, then what? Or I can, you know, it's like I can climb a tree and be upset, or I can stand on the ground and smoke one. Be cool. Do a shot. Listen to some Shirley. Fight back. Okay, so we got this problem with Senator Reed. Democrat, Nevada. He wants the president to please stop being mean to him. So, hey, I got this idea. If Reed had any brains or any balls, here's what you do. You call Tim Russert and you say, Tim, I got a bombshell. It's a big one, Timmy. I want to come on your show, and I guarantee when you say, whoa, we'll be right back, I guarantee faxes and phone calls around this country are going to be going like crazy because everybody's going to be talking about what Harry Reid did on the Timmy the Whore show. So that pretty much will get him on Meet the Whore with Tim Russert. And Russert says, all right, Mr. Reid, Senator Reid, Minority Leader Reid, whatever his damn title is, Wimp Master, what do you got to say to us today? And Harry Reid says, well, Tim, I'd like to address a constitutional crisis we have in this country. The president is not in control. And Timmy says, what? What? What are you talking about? He says, well, obviously, the president is not in control, Tim. He has no power. He's a figurehead. He's Ronald McDonald. Hey, Timmy, when you go to McDonald's and you ask for extra pickles and you get no pickles, do you go talk to the clown out front? No, you don't. You ask for the manager. You don't talk to the figurehead nobody. You don't talk to the douchebag that they pretend is in charge. You ask for the guy who's really in charge. You ask for either the shift manager or the assistant manager. You talk to somebody with some power, not to the plastic boy whose head is on the front of the restaurant. When you go to Burger King, if you order a double and you get a single and they mess that up and there's a bug on your Burger King, do you go talk to the king? No, you don't do that, Tim. You talk to the guy in charge. That's how it works, Tim. You don't talk to the figurehead. And that's what I'm getting at with Bush. He's a figurehead. He's not in charge. He doesn't do anything. He stands there like Reagan. He cuts ribbons and he makes speeches. He reads speeches that someone else wrote. And he does that very, very, very poorly, Tim, as you know. So what we've got here is a constitutional crisis. The president is not in charge. Tim, he's not even in charge of his own party. And Tim gets that dumb look on his face. Say, what? What do you mean, Senator? He says, well, Tim, think about it. The president in the State of the Union address said he was going to work with us. And then you turn right around and we're being attacked from every direction. Even though the president said we're going to work with you, somehow we're being attacked. That proves that the president is not in charge, Tim. And I've got a feeling I know who is in charge, Tim. And if you allow me to explain, oh, please do, Senator, please do. So this is where Harry Reid reaches into the Walmart sack that he snuck in when Tim wasn't looking. And he pulls out a big giant squirrel puppet. And the squirrel has got a switch on the back. And so Harry Reid reaches in there and he presses that switch on the squirrel's back and the squirrel's arms start moving up and down, up and down. The squirrel's arms are moving up and down and up and down. And Tim's all hypnotized watching this happening with the squirrel moving his hands up and down. And on the squirrel's fingers, you have little strings. And these strings are like 2 feet long. And when you pull the squirrel completely out of the bag, at the bottom of these 2 foot strings, there's a monkey puppet. And so when you hold the squirrel high enough up in the air, and if you hold the squirrel high enough up in the air, you can see that the squirrel is making the monkey dance. And Tim's going, I don't understand, Senator. And Harry Reid says, well, it's easy. The squirrel is Tom DeLay. Tom DeLay is the president of the United States, Tim. Don't you know anything? Tom DeLay is calling the shots. Bush is a puppet. He's a figurehead. He's Ronald McDonald standing in front of the restaurant, smiling and giving free fries to Ann Coulter. That's all he can do is smile and say, good job and glad to have you and how you doing. Meanwhile, he's just a monkey puppet, and his puppet master is the squirrel from Texas, Tom DeLay. And anybody can see it, and I think if the squirrel is going to run the monkey puppet, I consider that to be a constitutional crisis because Tom DeLay was not elected to be president. He was elected to represent the Sugar Land District of Texas, and he has no power to run the Republican Party or the United States. Yet he is doing that, Tim. We have a constitutional crisis. The president is not in charge. The president is being manipulated by others. This is a crisis, Tim. We must do something about this crisis. I call on every citizen of the United States. I call on every elected Democrat and every elected Republican to help me to get to the bottom of this. We must have a president who is in charge of the country, Tim. We can't let some squirrely representative from Sugarland, Texas, run the entire world, Tim, because he was not elected. The president has lost power. It makes you wonder, are they blackmailing the president, Tim? Why does the president have no power? Why can't the president control his party? Why can't the president control his own actions? He's out of control, Tim. He has no way to control himself. He's being used by others. He's out of control, Tim. What are we going to do? He's being used by others, and we've got a crisis coming. We don't know who's in charge, Tim. We must immediately find out what power Tom DeLay has over the figurehead president, and we must fight somehow to put the president back in charge of his own party and of his own country, because we're at war, the economy is crumbling, everything's going bad, and we've got to have a president who is actually in charge instead of some monkey puppet figurehead like Ronald McDonald. So please, Tim, join with me. Timmy, I want you to look in the camera right now and tell the people watching your show that we have to do something to put the president back in charge, because he's clearly not in charge. If the president was in charge of his own party, let alone the United States, let alone the world, if he was in charge of his own party when he gave the order, we're working with the Democrats, then they would work with the Democrats, but they're not doing that, Tim. The Republicans don't respect the president. The Republicans will not take orders from the president. He is not the president. He's just a goofy monkey puppet, and everybody knows it. It's time we address the problem. As you know, the first way to solve a problem, the first thing you got to do is you got to recognize you got a problem. That's why I'm here, Tim. I'm Harry Reid. I'm from Nevada. We're going to take back our country from the secret controllers of the president. The president won semi-fair and square, and the president should be in charge of our country. We should not allow him to be blackmailed or coerced or manipulated by tiny squirrel people from Texas. What do you think, Timmy?
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of.
Check out
ProudLiberals.com for debate, humor, and news. That's ProudLiberals.com.
Click on
FunnyFarmOnline.org. If you want to stay sane while Bush is president, visit the Funny Farm at FunnyFarmOnline.org.
Visit
JPSalesTraining.com. When we take our country back, you'll need training programs for your new employees. Go to JPSalesTraining.com now for progressive, interactive, and great training resources.
Check out
AmazingPlanet.com. Banned by eBay for hitting too close to the truth. Get your t-shirts from AmazingPlanet.com.
Click on
DoYouKnow.org for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about that bad boy, George W. Bush. DoYouKnow.org. And visit BartCop.com for the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See BartCop.com for more information. That's BartCop.com.
Do it now.
I get email all the time saying, Bart, love the radio show, but when are you going to talk more about economics, Bart? We need to hear more about the money situation. We need to hear more about how the financial world works, Bart. When are you going to give us some more of that? Okay, I'll give you some of that right now. Looking at the U.S. whore today, first big headline grabs my eye, online gambling sites expect big payoffs. Online gambling has hit the jackpot. Oh, see right away, you assholes, learn the fucking right, would you? Oh, it hit the jackpot. After years of escalating growth, it's poised for its biggest year. That reflects a growing obsession with poker, advances in broadband and wireless technology, and the temptation to strike it rich from a PC. They have one point, though. Pretty soon people are going to be sitting at a truck stop or a train station, their subway connection. They're going to lose $1,000 playing poker online on their damn telephone. You know that's coming. People should have a right to lose money. I'm only going to give you the overview because we've been there 100 times. If you can buy stock, there's no bigger gamble than buying stock. And that goes back to this monkey trying to mess with Social Security and the gambling stock market there. Gambling ought not to be regulated. If you can put $40,000 into a Hard Rock Island nightclub in 1985 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you ought to be able to throw any money at anything, because if you can be that stupid and lose that much money, then the government has no business telling you that you can't go all in on a king's full house. Anyway, it's a long article about online gambling, and it closes with Senator John Kyle, Republican prick, has spearheaded efforts to crack down on internet gambling since 1996. He might try again this year. Well, Senator Kyle, I thought Republicans were for less government. Why the hell don't you fix something that needs fixing? Because if a guy wants to gamble, he's going to gamble. You can't stop him. Let's say you got a guy with a gambling problem. He cashes his check. He gets paid on Friday. You know, and maybe some of you don't know this, but in Nevada, they pay you money to cash your check. If you work in Las Vegas and you get let's say your take-home pay is exactly $500, you go to a casino, they'll give you $520 in cash for your worthless $500, for your maybe going to clear the bank $500 check. Because they know if you're standing in the middle of their casino with $520 in cash, you're going to think, well, they just paid me $20 extra, so I at least ought to throw the $20 at them because I could win $1 million, you know, and then pretty soon you're out of money. So don't get mad at the casino for offering you some opportunity. You should be mad at the idiot who can't control himself, because it's the same way. If he can't control himself, he's probably going to get in a car and step on the gas, and he's going to be doing 150 miles an hour in a 25. He's going to kill himself and a bunch of kids, but we're not going to outlaw cars, are we? Anyone who's there, if you can put gas in your car, you can put gas into a 5-gallon little container and you can set yourself on fire with it and die. Should we outlaw gas? No. There is some modicum of self-control that is expected of an adult. And so I don't know why Senator John Kyle, a Republican prick, figured he's going to fix everything for us and prevent people from gambling. As someone who's won more money than they have lost gambling, I would consider it a crime to take away my ability to gamble. And don't get me started. Okay, but we need Senator John Kyle to get the hell out. Second thing caught my eye. Former Enron executive settles SEC charges. Son of a bitch. Raymond Bowen, who is senior executive at Enron, agreed Monday to pay a measly pissant $500,000 fine to settle charges of earnings manipulation. The SEC said Bowen should have been aware that the value of Mariner Energy, one of the assets he managed, was inflated by $100 million in the year 2000, helping Enron inflate its earnings. Bowen did not admit or deny the allegations, but agreed to a 5-year ban from serving as an officer or director of a publicly traded company. Now, how the hell, we know the damage that Enron did. They screwed so many thousands of people out of their life savings, and all this guy gets, $500,000 fine? Are you kidding me? Remember, this is the company that was making $500 million per day in some cases. And this guy was a senior executive at Enron. He was manipulating books. He overstated the value of his little section there by $100 million. That made people put hundreds of millions of dollars into Enron, and it all went bust. And this guy got off with a $500,000 fine. You know what these guys stole in an afternoon? I'm not saying he got the entire $500 million. You can bet he was in for 10%. He's a senior executive at Enron. Maybe they had 1,500 senior executives. You kind of doubt it. You figure maybe they had 20 or 25. Let's say there was 20. So that means 20 people got in on that $500 million per day. 20 into 500. That puts this guy at $2.5 million that he made one day. Manipulating the stock market, manipulating the energy prices, and they charge him $500,000, and they give him a 5-year ban on being an officer or director of a publicly traded company. Gee, would Martha Stewart love to have had that deal? Martha Stewart did not screw thousands of families out of their life savings. She told a partially white lie to some investigator dude, and she's doing hard fucking time. She lost, I forget the number, 30,000 or 80,000. It wasn't a big amount. It was to me and you, but not to, Martha Stewart was worth $1 billion at one point. So she did something to manipulate 80,000, 120, it was some pretty small number. And she had to go to jail for that. She did not steal from hundreds of or thousands of families. She told a white lie to a guy, and she didn't commit any crimes until she told the white lie stupidly, granted. But this guy wasn't stupid. They jerked everyone around. They conspired to manipulate the market to steal hundreds of millions of dollars. And he gets off with a $500,000 fine. Oh, please. You mean if I get caught with a pound of pot and a bunch of young boys, naked boys, and 200 tons of tequila and a bunch of, you're going to charge me a $50 fine? Hey, sounds to me like that's a real good deterrent. I don't guess I'll be messing with that marijuana or that tequila or them young boys again if it's going to cost me $50. Trying to put in some kind of perspective here. Martha Stewart went to jail over her little tiny crime. These Enron boys, they got a $500,000 fine, and they can't be, and they can't run anything for 5 years. Well, hell, this guy is, how old is he? They won't say. I'll bet he's 50 or younger. He can only manipulate private companies for the next 5 years. Now he's back at Enron. Oh, please, this is not a deterrent. This is a hand job. Why does this guy get that deal? And Martha Stewart got screwed like crazy because she's a Democrat and oil company executives are Republicans. It's that simple. Here's an article that I don't understand, and that doesn't make it a poorly written article. It might mean that I don't have the brains to figure out what the guy was saying, but odds are it's a poorly written article, and it's so poorly written that I don't have any idea what he meant to say. You would think, even at the U.S. Whore Today, they would have somebody, oh, I don't know, call him a editor, maybe, that would read the article before it went to the publisher, before it went to the presses, to see if it made any damn sense at all. You know, a story's supposed to have kind of a who, what, and where, and how, and why thing going on, and it's supposed to make some kind of sense. But let me read you a little story here about marijuana with an H. Pot cuts blood flow to brain, is the inflammatory, idiotic headline. Pot cuts blood flow to brain. People who smoked marijuana had reduced blood flow to the brain a month after they stopped smoking, a study says. One more time. People who smoked marijuana had reduced blood flow to the brain a month after they stopped smoking. That reduction might contribute to the forgetfulness and thinking problems that can plague heavy marijuana users, study researchers say. Well, they're saying it might, and on the other hand, it might not. Thought the purpose of a study was to come to conclusions. You're supposed to theorize a possibility or theory and then apply the scientific method to it to see if you were right. And when you're done, if your answer is that might be, well, have you learned anything? The study also suggests that, at least for heavy users, the problem may not be easy to correct. Okay, so at least we got a suggestion here as opposed to a maybe. Ronald Herning of the National Institute on Drug Abuse in Baltimore and his colleagues studied 54 people who smoked marijuana regularly. All agreed to stay at a residential facility where they had no access to pot for a month. So you found 54 regular pot smokers and said, would you go live in this house and not smoke anything for a month? And they found 54 people to say, sure. And they want to do more than quit smoking pot and go live with 53 other morons in some house that the drug abuse in Baltimore put together. Are these homeless people? Surely they don't have wives and kids. Mommy, mommy, where's daddy? Oh, he went to live at the National Institute on Drug Abuse safe house so he could stop smoking pot for a month. What the hell's up with that? At the end of the study, users still had objection to the word still, Your Honor. What do you mean still had resistance to blood flowing to the brain? There is nothing in this article that says they were tested before the trial started. This means I could get five people who are 6 feet six or taller and feed them Dr. Pepper for 30 days. And at the end of the month, I can say, Dr. Pepper makes you taller. Dr. Pepper makes you taller. And I'm sure because at the end of the month, all of the participants were 6 feet six or taller. So that's proof that Dr. Pepper makes you taller. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all, not even for a damn minute. What's wrong with these people? They do a test, and when the test is over, they see what happened without having a baseline to begin with. Now, if I start out with people that are 5'10", and they drink Dr. Pepper for a month, and at the end of the month, they're all 6'6", now we got something. That's what you call science. That's what you call the scientific method. That's applying the scientific method to a theory. If I think Dr. Pepper makes you grow 8 inches, and it does, then I've used science to prove my theory. That's what science is supposed to be about. Science isn't grabbing five people who are 6'6" and giving them Dr. Pepper, and at the end of the month saying, look how tall they are. That's not science, but that's what these monkeys have done. They grabbed 54 people, they threw them in a room, and at the end of the month, they said, look here what we got. Well, unless you know what you started with, you ain't got jack. You ain't got shit. This sounds like some faith-based biblical trial here we got going. Is science and logic just gone now? For years I've been arguing about science and logic. It just seems like now it's a dirty word. Oh, how dare you? He's trying to bring science and logic into the argument, Your Honor. It just seems like science and logic now is bad. Can't have any of that. If it disagrees with Bush, it must be science and logic, because we all know godly Bush was sent here to free us from the Clinton era. Praise his name. So at the end of the study, users still had resistance and objection to the word still, but we got to go on. In blood flowing to the brain, regular marijuana use might, here we go with might. Does science use might? I don't think science does. If you put a cigarette to gasoline, it might light up? No, it is going to light up every damn time because it's gasoline, and you put a match to gasoline, it's going to blow up. You ever been in a car? That's how a car works. You ignite the gasoline fumes, and it pushes the car down the road. What is this might bullshit? Wonder what my blood pressure is right now. At the end of the study, users still had resistance in blood flowing to the brain. Regular marijuana use might keep blood vessels supplying the brain abnormally constricted, letting less blood through to nourish the brain, Herning says. Well, now, I will concede that pot is a drug. If a soldier has his leg blown off at the knee, does that mean they should keep some pot around because smoking pot will constrict his blood vessels and therefore he will decrease blood flow to the wounded area, so he will lose less blood and more likely come home alive. Now see, here we go with some scientific theory. If you lose a limb and you're bleeding like crazy, smoke a joint. Because according to these monkeys at the National Institute on Drug Abuse in Baltimore, marijuana constricts your blood flow, thereby sending less blood to the leg, less blood running out onto the ground. So a fella in Iraq losing a leg or an arm has a better chance of making it home if he gets high. This is according to the logic espoused by the National Institute on Drug Abuse in Baltimore. Heavy users, those who smoked more than 78 joints a week. Now, holy moly, mother of pearl. They must be smoking Oklahoma pot. My good math, 78 joints a week divided by 7 days would be roughly a little more than 11 joints a day. Now, I don't know what kind of pot you got, but 11 joints a day, you're smoking some pot. Who smokes 11 joints a day? Maybe you do. Maybe I'm a Maybe I'm in the waiting pool on the smoking end of things, but 11 joints a day, I could say, sure. Camping, fishing, you know, you're out in the woods, you want to stay buzzed the whole weekend, I guess you could do that. 11 joints a day, that's a lot of pot, I got to tell you, that's a lot of... If you had good, if you're from Humboldt County, California, you're not smoking 11 joints a day. I promise. If you're with my friend Scary, you're not smoking 11 joints a day. If you're with some other friends whose name we won't mention and aren't they glad about that, you're not smoking 11 joints a day. Because I got to tell you, there are times when you could take a joint, cut it in threes, and not get to that third by the end of the day. Back to the article. Heavy users, those who smoke more than 78 joints a week, had no improvement in that blood vessel abnormality during the study. Well, yeah, 78 joints in a week. At least now we have some scientific value in that if you study what happens with an overdose, but even then, how much THC is in a joint? That's like saying I've got a bag of dope. Is it a quarter ounce? Is it a 50-pound bag? Is it a giant hefty lawn bag? You know, a bag of dope. It's a lot like a joint of pot because you don't know what's in it unless you measure it, you morons. Is it supposed to be medical science? You're supposed to be doing a scientific study here and you don't measure nothing? Or it could be that this Kathleen Fackelman is the biggest handjob idiot writer in the world. You know, I am not a writer, but several times a week I make some sense. At least you can follow where I was going from the beginning of the end of the story when you read something at barkup.com. But, Kathleen, you're not making any damn sense at all. You give us a bunch of mites and a bunch of maybes without any kind of qualifications on it. You either this is one of the most heavily flawed medical studies in history, or you're an idiotic writer who has no business making their living. Where even at the U.S. Whore today, this is bad writing. Okay, still trying to close. So 78 joints a week, there's no help for you after a month. Just drink out the restricted blood flow. Now, again, though, if you have some amputations, you're lucky to be smoking them 78 joints. However, light users, people who smoke 2 to 15 joints a week, did show an improvement, although their blood flow still had matched that of healthy controls. The study appears in today's issue of Neurology. Well, I wonder if I can go to neurologymagazine.com and get a little more information. But what we have here is, I would guess, an organized hand job. These are religiously crazy people, or maybe they're just innocently against pot, which you can be against pot. That's okay. You can be innocently against pot. You can be a doctor against pot. You know, I don't care what your, everybody has an opinion. But don't stand there and say we're doing a scientific study and our theories have been proven by science and logic because, you grab 54 people that weren't tested up front and you tested them at the end. That is so dumb because Dr. Pepper does not make you grow taller. That's a fact. I'd say the odds of Dr. Pepper making you grow taller and this study, they're about equal in weight, I would say. And it also goes to show that the more they want to talk about this without applying science and logic to it, if you're not going to put the scientific theory to work, it must be because when the scientific theory is applied, your case loses its ability to hold water, and you become a laughing stock, and then you're standing there with nothing but a stick in your hands. Awesome.